Staining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Rita.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
We have we've just done 3 years of this the other day, Facebook reminded me.
What? Really?
I know.
That's crazy.
I told you.
That's funny, we should
really recover some of those earlier conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually scrolling back to try and find something that we'd spoken about, and I noticed the years folding by in our messages. So,
it's been a minute. Time just goes too fast. It goes faster as you get older, too.
Relative.
Anyway.
Mm. Now, positive and uplifting topics are we talking about when it comes to the future of sustainability this evening on the show?
Well, I'm going to talk about urban heat islands just as we come to the end of summer. Although I definitely felt it this morning. It was about 8:20, and I was dropping off my son, and it felt the air temperatures felt quite hot, and that's not common in Auckland. Normally, it's still quite even in summer. You know, it doesn't sort of warm up till at least 10 o'clock. And I just had that vibe of remembering, you know, off Sydney and how it gets like that. But I thought I'd talk today about urban heat islands because yesterday there was a report that was published by the Australian Conservation Foundation, a study called Temperature Check, Greening Australia's Warming Cities. And it had been a while since I'd heard the term urban heat islands, since I'd studied, really. But it is something that is very much so, or should be, in the forefront of our thinking as we design our cities. And I don't think it is.
Okay.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Yep, sorry.
You're waiting for us to start chiming in?
I don't know when you're going to hang on for another 25 minutes. Some people tell me to stop talking, so I don't say anything, and then I do say something. It's real hard. I'm bad at the phone, Rita. I'm real bad at the phone.
Do you know what? I think we all are. I think we've lost the art of talking on the phone.
Our door's always open.
Text too much.
Rita.
So this is what you normally say. What is an urban heat island?
Tell us.
Concrete
jungle?
Yes, exactly. It's the decline of green spaces, and what you find, you'll find this if you go into the bush even, when you're in that, you know, the very sort of edges of it, it's still quite warm, but as the deeper into the bush you go, the cooler it is. And it's a similar kind of concept, I guess, is that, you know, the trees and the plants give, for a couple of reasons, cool the area around them. So as we get rid of that green space and replace it with concrete and steel, we're finding that those areas become hotter. And when you map them out, every city in the world, you will see that the downtown areas are a lot warmer than you know, the surrounding rural areas. So, I mean, it's no major surprise to anyone. It's just, and it's been, something that's been studied for a long time since we started industrialising cities, really. But it's a big concern for a lot of countries, especially this report for Australia looked pretty damning, especially for those inland city suburbs. Mm. So if you're thinking somewhere like West Sydney, I don't know if anyone has spent any time there, but it gets hot.
Ah, West Sydney. Yes,
yeah,
I know it well. No, not at all.
It's hot. Hot, man, and I don't know whether it's because I'm a Kiwi, but I feel like I'm too far from the ocean for my liking. They're sort of predicting that in the future, when it sort of hits 50 degrees there, that they may hit another 15 degrees due to the urban heat island.
Oosh.
So you're looking at sort of a temperature of 65 degrees, which really is unlivable. So that's what the concern is that, you know, we know about these urban heat islands. They tend to add between 1 and 3 degrees generally in the day, and then more at night. But particularly bad when we overlay climate change on top of that, and of course the growth of urban areas.
Hmm. Where have we got in New Zealand that kind of equates to that? Like sort of the Hamilton Farmers Car Park gets real fucking.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, in some respects we're quite lucky because we are surrounded by ocean. And, you know, we are just a little, firstly New Zealand's an island. But, you know, Auckland in particular is quite a thin, urban piece in the middle, where our city actually lies. We're very lucky. Mm. But, you know, we've got a terrible record. So the study looked at Brisbane, which has 54%, the city itself has 54% coverage of trees. Melbourne had 23%, so it wasn't looking great, and Sydney 34%. So then, and just to give us some context as well, Manhattan has about 20%. I looked at Auckland, we have 18%.
18% less than all those ones that you mentioned, though.
Yeah,
really.
So it's pretty shocking. We've got a goal of getting to 30%.
So we just don't like trees?
We don't. It's
sorry.
You know what? It's a really...
Hey,
you know
do you
what
like
I
trees?
Think?
Apparently not.
I talk to people sometimes and I'm like, wow, you've got such a beautiful pohutukawa in your, on your property. And they're like,
oh yeah,
the bastard drops red leaves every year.
Nature all on my shit. I fucking hate it. Cool.
I just don't understand it. I'm like,
it attracts birds and they're always yelping. Oh, shut up, bird. Cool, man.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, but I do think there's an element of people, like the maintenance that comes with trees.
Can't hear my TV from the birds, too loud from my TV. I'm trying to watch my bird show and I can't hear it because the birds are too loud from my fucking TV.
If your birds are too loud, they're not natives. they'll be those bloody miners.
Now, Rita, there's sort of there's a story here of inequality as well, because it appears that the poorer areas are often the worst affected, as in they don't have any green space at all. They're largely concrete, whereas the affluent people are able to plant some trees.
Space.
Yeah. I mean, what you'll find quite often with conservation is that inequality is pretty much weaved through it. You know, a lot of wealthy people can afford to mitigate some of the, you know, environmental disasters, whereas the poorer people can't. And I think when it comes to this sort of, in this space, the urban heat islands, what we see is a lot of growth going on in those areas. And so development is happening fast, and often not to the best kind of design practices, that have been set out globally around this sort of sustainability. So in Auckland in particular, some of the areas like Otara and Mangere have sort of 8% coverage. And then, you know, you look at somewhere like Devonport, which has got one of the highest in the city. So, yeah, there's definitely an inequality amongst, you know, and these are the people that will be, those are the areas that I'd be the most concerned about, because, you know, Papatoetoe is kind of inland a little bit. It's not going to be offset by the ocean, cooled by the ocean as much. So they probably will feel it. And then on top of that, they can't afford to have air conditioners running and whatnot as well. So they kind of get this double hit, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, so it is something that I think for us, you know, we've been able to mitigate a little bit because we are by the ocean, but it is something that is going to get worse. We have our urban growth, the urban area itself has grown 12% in 25 years, and we've lost 30% tree coverage. That is a stat that's come from Tree Council, versus the one that the council did, which they are more saying that it's been that the tree loss on private property has been offset by the tree gain on public land. The problem with that is that public land is now, because of COVID and also the council's years of overspending or maybe under taxing, I'm not entirely sure, probably a mix of the two, are having to sell off a lot of public land. So if you Google your area, you'll see a lot of reserves that they're currently in the process of selling off. So those areas that have been planted or are doing a really nice job of mitigating some of that urban heat will soon become, you know, developed. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a concern.
What's the remedy here, Rita? Is it just another classic situation of plant some more trees, don't cut down the trees you've got?
Yeah, I think there's an element of, like, better planning as well. You know, like, building up means that we can, we're not taking out as much land.
Rooftop tree situations.
What was that?
Get some rooftop canopy tree situations going.
Yeah, I don't know why rooftop garden bars are not a thing here. I wish they were. building around trees. I mean, there was a really sad case in Avondale recently where they cut down a macrocarpa, which was protected and scheduled, which is, you know, you shouldn't really be able to touch those. And it wasn't even in the way of the building. It was just not to the aesthetic that they were designing to. So there's some...
Did they use the macrocarpa for the deck or anything?
Yeah, totally. I think they just mulched it. That whole thing was pretty sad.
That's great.
There's some mitigating things like painting roofs white, because 40% of it actually comes from the dark roofs that everyone has, which is quite a lot. And I was like, wow, making it white. And then I looked at my roof and I was like, oh, man, if we had, like, you know, I'm in the Waitakere's, if everyone had white roofs, it'd be really ugly. But I guess it's sort of one of those things, right, that we're going to have to eventually probably get our heads around. The other one that's really important is, so that kind of planning and the best practice design, you know, really needs to be implemented, because at the moment, you know, we're building, and we're building as cheaply as possible, and I understand we do need to house people, but, you know, if it's going to cost a lot of money for people to then mitigate or offset, you know, the heating, because they're having to cool down their homes because now there's no trees to provide shade and that's heating up the area, you know, that's not a fix for anyone in a situation where they don't have a lot of money. So we need to think about this as a whole rather than just a sum of parts, if that makes sense. And including those cooling costs in the cost-benefit analysis when they're actually looking at chopping down trees, especially those older trees. Like, the thing that people have to realise is, especially natives, they take a long time to grow. So, you know, a 20-metre tree is usually 100-plus years. You can't just grow that in our lifetime. So we really need to be thinking about these trees with a little bit more respect, I think. And look around. I challenge you, when you're in the city, look around and see what the biggest tree is. I can almost guarantee it's not a native. It will be probably a Norfolk pine. So, you know, and it's pretty sad when I do that. I get quite down about it, because I'm like, man, this used to be covered in canopy trees, and I can't see one for the life of me. So we just need to, again, you know, really protect our trees. I really wish the Labor Party would overhaul the... there was an RMA change that meant anyone can kind of, they can't blanket protect trees anymore, which is a real shame, because it means that on top of making, it's very difficult now to protect a tree. Very expensive. So yeah, that's it. I mean, I feel like we keep coming back to that. You know, we undervalue trees significantly, and this urban heat island is one that we, you know, really do need to keep an eye out for, even though we are a city by the ocean.
Would you accept concrete trees? Would that be a compromise?
I don't know, but I've seen some quite beautiful designs of, like, trees that have been remade, and I thought, that's so crazy. So you chopped down a tree and replaced it with a fake one.
Oh, man.
There's actually a song about that.
Is it a Christmas song?
No. Isn't it just the tree museum?
Is it a Radiohead song?
That's the ultimate tree that got replaced with a fake tree.
There's a Radiohead song about it too, isn't there? Yeah, so it's been well covered in art.
All right, Rita.
Cool.
Let's leave it there. We'll check in with you next week for more.
Yeah, sounds good. You guys have a good week.
Sustainability news. Guys, see ya.
That was Sustainin' Alive on 95 BFM.